Robert, would you elaborate? Now, I know asking you that, you would certainly elaborate in any case, but would you elaborate on what you said about lightness?
Elaboration is kind of my middle name, it's true. But lightness is a pet idea of mine in self-direction and people working on their own. Usually when people are focusing their attention or their thoughts on a specific object or narrow idea, they tend to tense a little bit in themselves as they do so. And it gets to be kind of a heavy kind of thinking. Whereas when people are thinking very lightly about things, it's generally fairly vague things, or like, it's a nice day, it feels nice today, right? Which is a very light kind of way of thinking about the weather, let's say. And what I think is really helpful for people is to learn how to think about very specific things and even to have very specific intentions about those things, but with the same lightness that they would bring to bear on something like the weather. And the way I the your description at the end of the last interview was an example of that, telling people to think as lightly as they would like to move, right? That isn't that basically what you were asking of them? And here is my way of doing it at the moment, which is I'm more perhaps maybe more a visual person. I point out a particular table in my teaching room, which is a very boring brown table, and I just ask students, what color is it?
So you don't
And
know what you just told me what color it is.
well,
You don't
I
know?
describe I shouldn't have said it to you. But there is the table, and they say it's brown. And I point out to them that really they didn't have to do a lot of work to come up with that answer, but they did have to do something, which is to put their attention on something that very likely they had no interest in, and would probably not notice under normal circumstances. And then I take it one step further and ask, well, could you stand up, maybe take a little walk around the room and sit down again, and say to yourself that you could even say the purpose of this little walk is so that I can have some very light awareness that there is that table there, and that I don't need to be looking at it the whole time or even thinking about it the whole time, but I'd like to be in a state such that if someone were to ask me a question about that table, like what side is the drawer on, or how wide is it, or something like that, I would either know the answer because I had been interested in the table, or I would know where to look to find the answer. And I find that almost everybody can do that after one or two tries. Sometimes people will, it'll turn out they've been really concentrating on the table, right? And they're kind of tightening up around that, so we talk about that. Or they may just have forgotten the table entirely, so we want to just bring it back gently. But almost everybody can do that. And that really is the kind of attention, an amount of effort that you want for efficient constructive self-talk, let's say.
Yeah, constructive self-talk is a really important concept.
You
So,
better define it, 'cause we haven't talked about it.
no, we haven't. But we did touch on it in the last
The
interview.
saying no it is constructive self-talk, right?
It is, but self-talk in general is something we touched on a little bit in the last interview, in that we're often talking to ourselves, giving ourselves a lot of directions that we're not aware of before we actually are aware that we're thinking about something. Quite often we have a lot of habitual self-talk that goes on before we have something we think we want to think about. So if we're walking, going to go out and we need to get our car keys. So usually on the way to get the car keys, there's a bunch of things going through our head, whether it's what we need to do next, or oftentimes it's like, oh, I don't have time to do this, or it's often a very negative, unconstructive kind of comments that are going on about ourselves. And so to watch for that or to listen to that, and boy, it'd be great to listen to that and you find you have constructive comments going on, but just noticing what you're actually telling yourself before you do something, and then decide to think something constructive. And like you mentioned, that canceling, that saying no, that deciding not to do something, very consciously deciding not to do something, but with a very gentle, easy thought, is constructive self-talk. And also the basic awareness you were talking about with the table, that's constructive self-talk. Just to be more aware, to be present in what you're seeing. And a lot of that has to do with not having a lot of the other unconstructive self-talk going on. So listening to your self-talk. Because once we listen to it, we think, gosh, I wouldn't say that to my best friend. Or I wouldn't say that to somebody I hardly know. Just to notice what is it we're telling ourselves. And then to find something constructive. And one of the things that's very easy to do with the Alexander technique is to constructively give yourself a very gentle idea that your neck could release, your head could go forward and up, your back could lengthen and widen, your knees could release forward, or your head could move away from the top of the spine in such a way that your whole spine follows it, your whole body follows it. There are many different ways to say the directions in Alexander, but they're very constructive directions to give yourself at any time. And so if you catch yourself with unconstructive self-talk, you can easily replace them with those directions, like you were talking about in the last interview of the direction of canceling, or in Alexander they call it inhibiting your reaction, your initial reaction you didn't even know you had. And then also just that listening is really helpful, and then replacing it with any form of the Alexander directions. And it becomes like a meditation in action, only you're very, very present in the outside world in that.
Well, you know, as long as we're talking about the Alexander directions, probably it would be a good idea if we told people what the Alexander directions are. What do you think?
Yes. Yes, would you like to speak to that?
This is a thorny minefield in the Alexander world, because not all Alexander teachers agree about the wording of the directions. And so I'm just going to do my take on it. And if you have something you want to add or subtract, feel free. How's that?
Okay.
All right. So the standard...
I'll bring my accounting along.
Bring the accountant. The standard directions that seem to be, I would say, the classic Alexander directions are something to the effect of, I'm letting my neck be free, to let my head go forward and up, to let my back lengthen and widen. And then tacked on to that might be to let my elbows release out from my torso, or my knees from my hips, various sort of sub phrases that are often added to that. That's apparently Alexander used words like that in his teaching. We don't really know. But that was what I was taught when I went to training in England in the late 70s. Early 80s. Now, some teachers have changed the wording a bit. A classic example might be Marjorie Barstow, who tended to talk more in terms, as you were doing just earlier, I'm letting my head release away from my torso in such a way that my torso easily comes along, or words to that effect. She was always pretty emphatic that it didn't really matter a lot what words you used. If you liked the other words, they were fine. But I think she just felt that her way of talking about it was a little more useful. And I will say that all this talk about saying no to things like tightening your neck, That is, of course, inhibition, sometimes referred to as inhibition. I think we have to give some credit to Missy Vineyard in her book. You know her book, right? How to Stand, whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Missy Vineyard's book
we'll put a link to it. It's an incredibly long.
How to Stand,
long,
How to Move, How to Live.
Whatever. It's just the longest title in the world, but it is an excellent book. It really is. Probably the best book out there for anyone who wants to either learn about the technique or actually do some practical experiments on themselves. She's the one who really got me into thinking about the negative directions. I had a bias against negative directions. You know, don't think about pink elephants. That's not supposed to be a good idea because you will end up thinking about pink elephants. But I think in this case, for a number of reasons, which I'm just beginning to figure out.
Have you ever seen a pink elephant now that you mention it?
Yeah. I think negative requests of yourself, negative in the sense of saying, I'm not tightening my neck as I do something, or not tensing my neck, phrases of that kind, are often a lot more effective even than the lightest of the light, more proactive directions like I'm letting my neck be free. In that phrase, let, of course, is the key word. I think saying a gentle, soft, definite no to tension tends to move the system along a little faster. That's been my experience. And also, they're a lot easier to bring into my life lightly anytime I feel like it. They don't seem to require as much work.
Yes, and in a way, we actually don't know, even if we were very constructively directing, allowing our neck to release and our head to go forward and up and our back lengthen and widen, we have no idea how that is going to end up. Where, you know, whether our head's going to tilt more forward or more backwards or, you know, there's all these different ways because we don't realize what we're doing ahead of time.
And we don't need to know what our head's going to do.
Right.
It's not really our job.
We don't need to know which way that our body is going to go when we give those directions. We just know it's going to cancel something or undo or inhibit the habit that interferes with our flexibility. It's going to stop the pulling down, the tightening, the compressing in. And so that idea of the idea of using a constructive negative thought or constructive, I hate to say constructive negative thought because it's not a negative thought, it's a command, really. It's a command that says, no, I'm not going to do this.
I'd make it a request. Command to me, I mean, everyone's got their own way of thinking about the words, but to me, command just seems a little strong, you know, a little
tough. If you're talking about something you're not doing, but something you're undoing, it's just fine. I think using, you know, some effort, more strong words in terms of the directions sometimes can get in the way because people can put effort into that. But if you're actually just making a decision of will that you're sending to your system that says, no, I'm not going to tighten my neck. That's it.
Well, you know, I think we're going to have to disagree about that a little bit because I think most people have way too much will in their thinking right now in terms of the sort of changes that will help them Alexander-wise. But we could just disagree with that about that minor detail. But I'd like to bring us to another point, which I'd like to cover in the next interview, which is if you perform these little experiments, it's very likely you will notice something different about yourself. It's entirely possible you'll do that right at the very beginning. And then comes the question, what do you do about that, or how do you deal with those feelings? And I think that is of crucial, crucial importance. And I think we should talk about it in the next talk. What do you think?
I think that sounds great, and it is a really wonderful thing to end this conversation with, is to realize that when people experiment, they're going to learn stuff about themselves, And what could be more valuable to be able to know what it is you're actually doing?
Excellent.
I mean, this is, ourselves are the things that we're using for everything else.
Let's end on that high note.
Are you going to sing?
Yes. But
I suggested it. Excuse me. No, I think we should end. You're right.
All right. So this is the end of this interview.